Hello, everybody. This is Alexander Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is August 6th, 2013. I have a very special guest with me today, Tom Lombroso, and he has a website called WhenAngelsTouch.com. The first time I ever heard from Tom, he had perused my website and found some amazing parallelisms in our lives, which we will discuss today. And I think you will find him most interesting. He is a photographer, an artist, a poet, a communicator, and most of all, he has really made a niche market for himself in finding the messages that you can receive through clouds and rocks and, oh my gosh, Tom, everything, right? Concrete sidewalks,
right.
Even here. So
exactly.
What I'd like to do is just go over a little bit of a brief background on Tom. And one of the most amazing things I thought was fascinating was that you were born on 11/11. And can you tell us a little bit about your accident? I think that's where we should probably begin.
Well, yes, and thanks for so much for inviting me on your show. It's a wonderful experience, and I hope your listeners enjoy it and perhaps get some things out of what we're going to talk about.
Oh, I know they will.
Well, yeah. Well, to start with, I wanted to just briefly say I was like anybody else, going to work every day for over 40 years. And I'm almost 65 now, and very pragmatic guy, and I worked real hard, kind of day and night, and my career path was in urban planning or city planning, and for 20 years I worked as a director of a city planning office in California, and then the next 20 years, roughly, I created my own business in planning, helping developers with their projects and so forth. Well, one day coming home on a Friday, and get this, I was born on 11/11, and throughout my life, 11s have been foremost. They always seem to mean something. But this particular day, it was amazing. So on February 9th, 2001, I was driving about 10 miles from my home, coming home. And in the middle of the day, around noon, I got this message. I was in my Jeep all alone, and this male voice with a huge statement basically said, slow to 35. Now, when you hear something like that, and you're alone, you're looking around, what was that? Who was that? And I did that very quickly, and I knew no one was in my Jeep, but what was that? It sounded so definite, so important, and I immediately stopped. I went down from 60 to 35 miles an hour on a four-lane expressway. All of a sudden, three young men and another car passed me and went up to a stoplight, which was green, several hundred feet in front of me. They were in a hurry, but it was green, and they stopped, and they kept stopping. And as I'm approaching them, I'm wondering, what are they up to? And just before I go to the intersection, I'm now going 35. They made a left turn in front of me. So they are now perpendicular to my car, and I have nowhere to go. And I slammed into them. And both of us flew through the intersection, all the windows kind of blown out.
Oh,
my gosh. All of us had injuries. But it was almost like I had some time to prepare for it, but it was a feeling of helplessness in that accident. About 10 minutes later, the California Highway Patrol comes and interviews us, and I told them my story about the voice. And the guy says, the officer says, well, in my experience, and I've seen many of it, he said, if you were going 60, you'd be dead right now. Now, when he said that, it made me think a lot. Like, who saved me? Who was that voice? Why? And being at 11/11, I have this, a Scorpio having this inquisitive nature. So, but remember, 11/11, so the place, the time I was at, which was, February, which is 2, on the day, ninth day, 2 and 9 is 11, on Highway 65, which is 65 is 11. So it happened on 11/11.
I'm blown away. I just have to share this with the audience, okay? The radical accident I had was February 10th, 2001. It was around noon or 12:30, just like Tom. It was approximately 10 miles from my home. And when they arrived, they said I should have been dead. And I also received the same type of thing. I had a voice come in. I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. I thought I thought I was crazy, right? And unlike yourself, Tom, who was very, very smart to listen to your own advice, I had three warnings, did not listen to them. They told me to pull over the side of the road, and I had one of the most horrific accidents of my entire life. So, hey, you know, at least you listened to the message.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, when I go to a store, grocery store, retail store, anything, go into a bar, when the receipts come in, they add up to 11, 95% of the time. And my wife is a 10, she's born October 1, 10, 1 of 11.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like all these receipts, they're just so comical because they all add up to 11s and 10s. It's like both of us. And then recently, this is another example, my parents both died in 2001 in the summer. Now, my mom was 83, which is 11, and my dad was 92. He's 11.
You know, I think it's really cool because you're showing how much the universe speaks to us if we would just pay attention. You know, you're pointing out to me, I mean, my accident was February 10th. That was a 2 and a 1. Well, I was born on the 12th, you know, and threes have been following me around all over the place my whole life. But anyway, back to, I was pretty shocked that you've been married for 44 years and you seem to have just a really strong foundational relationship with your wife. I wanted to ask you, how do you feel that your wife's affinity with the earth has assisted you with your obsession with the skies?
Well, the way we've analyzed it as we've, you know, evolved. In fact, we talked a little bit about this even when we were dating, when we were like 17 and 19 years old. But it's like I'm into the skies, like I came from the skies, and I love the sun and I love the stars. And she's always been, so I'm looking up and she's kind of always looking down. Mm-hmm. In fact, she's got me kind of kid because she's kind of like a raven, and ravens follow her everywhere. But it's like a raven looking down, trying to find a shiny object. And that's what she does. And so she's looking down. She's like into the earth. I'm into the stars. And as we've analyzed our relationship over the years, we are completely opposite. It's a yin and yang, as they call it. And it really works. It works because we are opposite and because we compromise a lot, of course. And we honor each other's paths. Even though we're together, we still have different paths, but we help each other out. So
you must be able to do that if you've been together for 44 years. I mean, that today, that's like a statistic, Tom.
We've learned a great deal of patience. You have to have patience in relationships, and you have to have the compromise, and you have to have the caring for each other, because, you know, there are going to be arguments, there are going to be times that you don't agree, and you have to figure a way to not insult each other, not be angry. My newest book called Gently Angelic, I talk to people about how they can be more angelic in their lives, and one of the things is to live your life through your heart, because, you know, let's say we had an argument, well, I might be so upset that I might say something really nasty. And I know if I do that, if my brain's telling me to do that, then I may say something that is so bad that it can never be erased from her mind.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to do. But if you are speaking through your heart, you would never do that. You might still be angry, but you would never use those words. So that's kind of where we've evolved to, too. And it's just honoring each other. And we've come to understand we are on quite an experience. It's not been easy, and I know your experiences have been very painful too, so have ours. And But our desire to find out and to search for the meaning of all things has been absolutely incredible. And
yeah,
so,
I really resonate with your statement about medical and therapeutic treatments that you followed significantly changed your outlook on life and the meaning of your existence. I so resonate with that because when you go through such a traumatic accident as I did, where I was injured from head to toe, you really are in a place of constant searching. I mean, you could take one of two paths. You can either be in a state of victimhood or you can make it into a journey. And I see that the same in the books that I've been reviewing of yours, which, by the way, are just beautiful, folks. Check out his books. He's got three books now. He just released a third one. The first one's called Faces of the Universe, Sacred Images. That was released in 2009. He has Faces of the Universe, 2010. I'm missing one. Journey to the Clouds, right? Messages from the
Sky.
Journey
to the Clouds is first, yes.
Okay.
And then we just released Simply Angelic in July.
That's phenomenal. And they're beautiful. I mean, he's taken some phenomenal photographs. It's a great coffee table book. It's a great communication starter, is what I feel. But anyway, back to how do you feel that the medical and therapeutic treatments have changed your outlook on life?
Well, more importantly, it seemed to introduce me to other people. And it appeared that some were just being sent to me. I mean, I'd meet them 5 minutes or a day, and I'd never see them again. So I've had that happen over the years quite a few times. There are messages coming in from upstairs, and they're guiding me. And so, yeah, this was definitely all planned as a part of my path, that to have my accident, to awaken, to meet people, to be open to the experiences that were going to be coming to me. And many of them were very positive, and there were some, obviously, some negative experiences. And out of all that, you have to, you know, it's like us normal human beings, you have to decide who you want to be. And you have to decide who you're going to be with. You know, are you going to work for the good of humankind, or are you going to work against it? Are you going to, you know, be with your wife or husband or partner and love them, or are you just going to be in constant combat? You know, we have all these choices in life to go after the positive versus the negative, or the light versus the dark. And I believe you know that, at least in my experience, all the dimensions that exist, and they say nine, they all have the same principle that we have a choice between the light and the dark, or the good and the bad, including even the angelic dimensions where, of course, some angels decide to come down to earth and play with women, perhaps.
Right.
And that was the bad side. So even angels get corrupted. So
we
all have the choice.
Yeah, you made a good point about in the way in which we see our life. I think that's one of the gifts you're bringing to the planet is being able to see beyond what you see. You know, for example, looking for the communication through even the most bizarre thing. I mean, you know, a penny on the ground, or a face in a rock, or, you know, a certain kind of cloud. I thought about you. It's really funny because I was supposed to interview you during my trip across the country doing my mission, and I had the most phenomenal cloud formations, and I was seeing all kinds of faces and angels and all kinds of stuff, and I thought, oh my God, Tom would just love this. But getting back to the angels, you also are an artist, and you mentioned something about how art and music are very good for you in communicating with the angels. How is that the situation for you?
Well, you know, just like the accident, I think was planned to awaken me. We went to Peru in 2007. And actually, that's when my first clouds came, and then I were just powerful that I couldn't stop. But I have two wonderful psychics I've met over the years, and they are so uncanny. So they predict everything, and it always comes true, kind of thing. you get convinced. Well, a month before we went to Peru, my psychic Linda said, you know, when you get back, you're going to start painting. And I said, Linda, that's not going to happen. I love art. I have art in my house, but I have no ability in painting. She said, the energy is so strong, Tom, I would bet my life on it. I said, Linda, you're just wrong. So 2 weeks after we came back from Peru, I'm walking in a nearby town with my wife, and she had to peel off to another appointment. And almost immediately, I'm out by myself walking on the downtown street, and I swear it was like a lightning bolt hit the top of my head on a clear day, and this energy came through the top of my head, and it lands in my stomach.
Wow.
Instantly, the message was, it was such a huge craving. It was a craving to paint. And I couldn't believe it, because it's not me. You know, it's just not who I was. But it was so strong, an energy. She was right. She picked it up. But an hour later, I saw my wife. I said, we have to go to the art store. She said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I got to start painting. So I told her the story. We went there. We got the stuff. I started painting it that night, and I had to paint every night. The psychic said they wanted me to paint no matter what it looks like. Don't worry about it. Just paint. Just experiment. And it has been amazing, because many things come through the painting. Oftentimes, my hand goes where they're pushing it, not where I'm pushing it.
Very interesting.
And yeah, and so as I researched about painting, I've found that many people have had similar things, and also with music, and that this is music and art is a communication mechanism with the angelics. So, but I've had this firsthand experience, and I still paint. You know, I have paintings I've been shown many times, and some of my paintings are in this book I just released. And you know, it's a part of who I am now. It's just one facet.
That is so cool. In fact, I was going to ask you, you made a comment about the clouds come to you. Now, do you feel that they just show up, or are you actually calling them in, or, you know, is it your auric field? How does that happen?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, other than it does. And it started, I guess I said, in Peru when I, on the way in the train to Machu Picchu, I could see through the window a cloud that looked exactly like a condor and a cloud that looked like a puma. Now, these are two of the sacred totems or gods of the Inca. Well, when I saw those, I took those pictures. In fact, the condors in this newest book, and I was in awe. And it made me look up all the time. And that's what people often say when they read my books. They say, we can't not look up anymore. We have to look up.
Well, that's good.
And
that's great.
Yeah.
You know,
so anyway,
think about how
people are
just watching their cell phones all day long.
Yeah, I know. So it just got to be an appetite to do this. And the more I did, the more, I mean, wherever I would go, I would see. And then over time, it seemed like they were coming right to my town or even to my house. And I've come to understand that there's an intelligence up there, or many intelligences. I think some of them are actually souls that are communicating, the souls from other humans that have passed, and actually souls from other species, from other planets.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you tell the difference?
You can certainly tell by what they look like, because they don't look like anything human
okay.
at all.
Okay.
And then I also get a lot of them that are absolutely nasty looking. I don't put them in my books. It would scare people. But just like in anything in life, there are scary things and there are beautiful things. And I think some of them, you know, want to stop the books, actually. We've had incidents where things have happened to try to stop us doing what we're doing. So that's the negative side of things.
Have you felt an acceleration in that in this last year in particular?
Yeah, particularly with this last book. As I met with my editor and publisher in the Napa Valley, we had a wonderful meeting. And as we're driving, we have a SUV, and we're driving further west to go to the coast, Pacific Ocean. And as we're leaving the town, and I'm driving, my glasses fly off of me, sunglasses fly off of me in front of me. My wife's looking, she sees the whole thing. They broke in half in midair, and I could have felt like a hand brushed my left ear.
Whoa.
In the process of that. And then all of a sudden, a red gauge goes on in my car, and it's the one that has a half a tire with a line diagonal through it and a T and a C. I've never seen that one before. I pulled over, and I asked my wife to look in the book about it, and she says it's traction control. And it says, if you feel your wheel spinning, you've got a problem. And the message I got from that is, I mean, clearly, my glasses shouldn't have flown off. There was,
right.
I mean, windows are closed, everything. And I could feel the hand hit me. And
wow.
And then a gauge never went on ever again. Yeah. So it was a message to say, you think you're going to do another book? You think you're going to get this out there? Heck with you. So then we also had some, at the same time, we had some funny things happen around us in our house. Negative things happened that, you know, like several things with water that would break, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much coincidence, you know, too much things like that could be a coincidence all at the same time. But I feel, and I still feel, that all the things that we've encountered over the years that have tried to stop us, we've just kept going on. We feel like we're supposed to do this, and we're protected to do it, and, you know, we'll wade through the problems. And it all, so far, seems to work. So, you know, you have to have faith that, you know, the good side's going to win.
Yeah, and
actually in the clouds, actually in the clouds too. There's been, particularly last September, I remember, for several days, there was a war in the sky between the clouds, and it was some very nasty clouds coming. It was like the old infantry's old style, where a whole band of troops would come, and there'd be a line like the Maginot Line,
wow.
World War One. And then there was clouds on the other side, and those were the good guys. And the good guys all had this kind of, we might say, lightsaber or whatever. But the long piece of the cloud was a straight piece on each one that it had very pointy and everything. And you could see over hours. One day it was 5 hours in the sky over my house. And you could see them battling and cross that Maginot Line, and eventually the good guys won. You know, I do believe that's the case. I do believe that there is a war going on between light and dark forces. And it's, in one way, it's fashioned in the clouds.
You know, it's interesting because people don't realize the significance of the clouds, period. You know, for example, you have cloud ships, which the motherships use a lot to, mm-hmm. you know, to hide themselves, because if a mothership appeared, it could literally, you know, cast out the sun, and we would have, you know, because they're so massive in particular,
mm-hmm.
particular areas. But
yeah.
I also think you're hitting upon something else, and that is, you know, we've had so much chemtrailing
yes.
and so many other nasty spraying going on in the air, which once it joins and unifies with some of the other cloud formations, it's almost as if there's like, I don't know, kind of like what you said, like almost like a negativity associated with that cloud versus what you're talking about. Because you can really see the difference in the cloud formations lately because they've been cleaning up the sky so much. Have you been
yes.
noticing that? I mean, there's
yes.
there are so many different cloud formations out there. I really noticed that this trip, because I had a lot of time to watch. You know, I was on the road 500 miles a day or something. And
mm-hmm.
I really noticed how it was the first time probably since I was a child that I saw
yeah.
these gorgeous, piercing, white, billowy, full and fluffy clouds that you used to see when you were young. And I was wondering
mm-hmm.
If you've kind of gotten that from your communications with the clouds as well. It sounds like you have.
Well, one of the communications I have had over the years is that we're destroying this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the planet is the clouds and the cloud beings themselves. I mean, you have to look back at the planet. There are really four elements, you know, the earth, water, fire, and air.
Right.
And without that, we don't live.
Yeah.
And they are living entities just as much as we are, maybe more. And the clouds have expressed, in a way, if you can believe it, have expressed a concern about how we're destroying their environment,
right,
what they live in, and that they are declining in a sense, just like this Earth is declining. And unfortunately, we all don't share as humans the need to, you know, take care of this planet. We're going down, and hopefully there will be enough people in the future to fix this. But you can't have 7 billion people and going on 10 billion and not expect things to, you know, have a problem. So anyway, the clouds have expressed that. And, you know, going back to your question also, you know, I've got probably 250,000 photos now.
Wow.
Of clouds. And I've categorized everything in the world. I've seen every possible cloud I can imagine. So they're all out there, and many of them are so manufactured in the sense that they can create any kind of image, you know, whether it's being created by another intelligence like an alien force, or whether it's being created by us as humans, or created by them as an elemental force. I think it's a combination. Clearly, there's a measure of angelic intervention in the clouds.
Yeah.
And there are, as I said, there are souls, I believe, in one form or another. I've had several experiences where something had died and then it gets expressed within a couple of days in the clouds. Particularly, I just had a cat that passed away after 15 years, and 2 days later it was over my house, perfectly formed.
Wow.
And no question, it was her with her little smile, and you could tell the ears and the legs and so forth.
That was Sassy. Sassy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you saw her website. Well, you know, do you feel like people see the same thing as you, they just don't recognize it? Or do you feel that this is truly a gift where the communication's coming to you through the clouds?
I'm not the only one that sees these things, but by and large, most people don't spend a lot of time with the clouds. They take them as a given. You wake up in the morning, get cleaned up, get off to work, and you know the air is a part of something you take for granted. The clouds are you take for granted, unless it's raining on you or something. You know, so we take our existence on the planet for granted in many ways. Now, when you start to analyze things, whether it's clouds or the Earth itself, what I found to be true is there are so many living entities on this planet that we can't see.
Correct.
And I've been able to photograph many of them, you know, with my camera, which, you know, is amazing that the new cameras are so good. So, for example, in Arizona on the mountains, we photographed by chance. Actually, I was trying to approach my wife in the forest. And when I didn't know, I couldn't see it, but the camera saw it. When I got home and developed it, put it on the computer, here is this creature. It looked very, in a way, clown-like in the face. It had whiskers, reddish hair, but it was behind a tree and just turned its head so that we could see it. And for some reason, it was connected to my wife. Of course, she's the Earth, so why not? But I come to find out this is they call them sprites, S-P-R-I-T-E-S.
Yeah.
And they live in communities all across the world in the forest. Now, we chop down all the forests. We hurt their environment. They're very afraid of us.
Yes.
As well as things like fairies and leprechauns. And so there's so many stories of these things. And when you look at the ancient cultures who, particularly Native Americans, Native Indians, Native whatever, different countries, they have stories of this because they saw them or they interpreted them. And but, you know, we're kind of, in a way, as humans, we're kind of arrogant. We don't see these things, so we don't think they exist, and we do things that probably harm them. So it makes you think when you see something like this, that in fact, you know, they're a part of our environment.
Yeah, you know, Tom, you brought up another thing about the elements. And I had read a long time ago, and it always hit me very hard, where they said that there had been such a disintegration on the planet and such a lack of respect for the elements on the planet that they've basically withdrew their energies from this area in such a way just to be able to cope with the dishonor and the pain and the anguish, etc. And I read, maybe I think it was probably 2, 3 years ago, the whole nature kingdom and the elements had kind of been like switched back on. It was supposedly some sort of divine decree that they had agreed to kind of come back online and support humanity and help us through this process. Do you think that some of the clouds that you are seeing, that you're communicating with, are they basically expressing an emotion like anger or joy through the clouds? Like, is the air expressing itself through the clouds in that way?
I'd say there's more of a frustration and disappointment, almost a resignation that they could be destroyed over
Wow.
time. And I've communicated and told them I would help as much as I can. Now, there are people around the planet that are able to heal parts of the planet, and they try to do that. Now, I don't know how effective that's going to be, but, perhaps there are people like that that can do that, and maybe that's part of the hope that there would be something, because we have such an incredibly beautiful place to live. I mean, to destroy it would be so stupid. So
Well,
anyway.
I think there's a lot vested in this planet, and I also think that it is the kind of the job, with quotations around it, of the lightworker community to bring this back to its original pristine state. I mean, I it's almost like a karmic responsibility, and I do feel that there is karmic responsibility on the part of the galactic brothers and sisters as well. I mean, they're just as much involved in this as we are. So it's not about, a lot of people say, oh, stop looking up to the heavens because they're not here to save us. Well, that's not what they're saying in the first place. They've never,
No.
ever said they're here to save us. They've said that
No.
they're here to assist us. There's a big, distinct difference there. But, God, you talk about the clouds in such a beautiful way. Tell me a little bit more about your experience in the Nefertiti, is Nefertiti, how do I pronounce that?
That's
Nefertiti
right.
temple. I was fascinated when I read about the key in Egypt. I would love to
Well,
tell a little more about that.
we went to Egypt in December 2008 with a couple of friends on a tour, and this seemed the right time to go. And anyway, another psychic friend gave me a note. I mean, I didn't even meet her, and she had gotten some kind of vision, and she drew a diagram of this key, a large golden key, in my hand. And then she just made a note, this will be presented to you in Egypt. And I didn't know what it meant or whatever. So we go down to the farthest south part of Egypt on a tour. It begins down there, and there are the huge Ramses statues, temples. And you go through, it's like a single line, the doors are huge tall, but they're only like single file to get through into the temple. And there's a guard and another, almost like two guards at the door, watching people and letting them through. And as I got to the door, they stopped me, and they stopped the entire line. And I'm saying, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? And they motion over to another guy, and they asked him to bring this golden thing over, and I look at it, and it's like almost like I'd say 2.5 feet in length, and it's all gold and fashioned into a big key. And of course, I don't speak Egyptian, and they didn't speak English, and they just motioned for me to hold the key with both my hands underneath it, which we
Wow.
did. Now, my two people that with me knew about this prediction beforehand. And they're just stunned. And so I do this, and I mean, not much to say, but everybody is waiting in line, endless line, trying to get through, and here it's all stopped for like 5 minutes. And so I take it, and on the way out, they do the same thing.
Wow.
And so it was a weird experience, and I don't know how to interpret that, other than she got the message, and it happened, and what can you say? Lots of those things have happened for us. It's like something gets predicted, and it absolutely happens. For example, when we went to England and France in 2008 also. By the way, we've been called to go all around the world, and it's like things happen to make us go, and so
yeah,
we go.
I can relate.
But anyway, my psychic before I left said you're gonna see a stargate when you go to France. She said that's guarded by two angels and you see it to honor them. And she said, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be in the sky and it's going to be incredible. And we had a change in plans in France to make us go to Saint-Malo, which is a little coastal town on the north side, kind of like, and it's not close to Normandy, but in that area. And as we were coming on the train, clouds started to form, and I was looking out the window, and when we got to this little town, we took a cab to the downtown right along the ocean. And a beautiful beach, and my wife got out of the taxi to go across the street to get a hotel room. And all of a sudden, this cloud formed, and it formed, huge formed. I'm on the sidewalk with buildings all around me, and I'm looking up, and here's this huge triangle. Imagine a cloud with a perfectly cut out triangle in the center.
That's amazing.
It felt like, I swear to you, I felt like it stopped time.
Wow.
So I'm taking about 50 pictures of this thing, and I'm here. People are probably 45, 50 people went by me on the sidewalk. And you know how if you were looking up, people will look up, whether you've got a camera in your hand or not, because they want to know what you're seeing. And no one looked up because I had my other eye looking at them, wondering, do they see this? And at the same time, I'm taking pictures. And
it's almost like you're visible to them.
I think you're
in that moment.
I think it was in a different dimensional space. And for it to happen, you know, I always wonder, why is this happening for me that I see these things? But I think it's because I'm open to it. I really am open. I'm open every day to experiences like this. And so I'm in a way speaking to them through that willingness to do it. You know, some of this stuff is, you know, it's really good, but it's also a little scary. I mean, I think a lot of people might be scared of something like this. But anyway, that's how things happen. In fact, the same psychic said, when you go to France, in fact, I never, ever wanted to go to France. In a way, I hated France. I didn't know why. But she said, when you go to France, take pictures of your back, because they're going to show you your past lives.
Ooh,
in your back.
Cool.
And so every night, my wife would take a picture of my back with my iPhone. And one night there, here comes this photo of, if you drew a line down my spine longitudinally, on one side, on the left side of my back was this huge gash, like a whip mark might be, really deep and curved. Now, that's not on my back in reality. And then the other side, you could see all my ribs from the backside, like I was starving to death. And,
wow.
You know, the only way I can explain it is she was right. And then later on the trip, we were on the train, and we went through this little coastal town called Dax, D-A-X. And I had so much pain. It's like someone was taking huge picks and putting them through my wrists, both wrists at the same time. And we stopped there to pick up passengers. And I didn't know this was happening, what was going on. And as soon as we left, it was gone. So I actually called my psychic from France that night. I said, you won't believe this, but I said, do you pick up anything from this? She says, yes. Long time ago, you were chained to a wall. Your back was to the wall for several days, left hanging there, and then they took you down and chopped off both your hands.
Oh, my God.
And about a year later, I was watching a TV show about Caesar. When he was a military man, would go into what was then called Gaul, France, would go into a village and take a number of men and chop off their hands. Now, some would die, some would live, but the point of it was to scare the villagers to go to the next village and the next village and say, don't fool around with Caesar, because this is what's going to happen to you.
Right.
And that's how we won. That's how we won. Yeah. So we've had a lot of various experiences, not just clouds, but seeing things, other creatures, very angelic things, negative things. It's all a part of our world and part of our existence. I wanted to tell you one thing also, that there's a lot of people have gone through transformation, and of course that's what I've been going through, and I'm sure you have, and that is there are many books written by people going through transformation. There's a key difference for me from what I'm doing, because I've been able to document photographically my story.
Mm.
What's been happening to me, a lot of it with the clouds, but in other ways too. So fortunately, I've been able to, and I can tell a story, and I can say, this is what it looked like.
It's like you have proof, you have testimony, you know?
Yeah, and then the biggest proof was the guy that was in speaking to me in 2001 in my Jeep was an angel. And I didn't know that at the time. But as things progressed in December of 2005, I started having visions all of a sudden. I never had a vision in my life. But I woke up. We were awakened at 1:30 in the morning. Our bed is shaking side to side violently. The lights are going on and off in the house, including a light in the bedroom that wasn't even plugged in.
Wow.
Now, that's scary, and you kind of get up, who's doing this? Are the doors open? Is it a burglar? But this would happen. This happened for 3 weeks straight, about 3 to 4 times a week. And the third week, the first time it happened, now we're used to it. We don't know what it is, but we're used to it. And as I'm trying to go back to sleep after it stopped, it's like the old TVs that used to have when they were turned on, they had a little white spot in the center, and then it was widened out.
Right.
And that's how it looked like for me, the first vision. And it widened out, and here's this vision of this incredibly beautiful angel. And it was in profile to me, standing upright, and then it looked at me, and I could see so many, it was color, it was so incredible, the wings were so huge, nothing like you see in books. And then it panned to another picture of the angel, this time on a horse, with full armament on and a sword.
Wow.
And that was the vision. The next day I got this really strong message to go to Borders Books, to look at angel books. I go in there. And I pulled down an angel book, the first one I see. I don't know anything about it. Turned to somewhere in the middle by chance, and here's the picture of an angel on a horse. It's Archangel Michael. And that's how I got to be my proof. And then 3 years later, in 2008, we're in Sedona, Arizona, and we're walking a labyrinth, and this angel cloud formed. It was like swirling, swirling and swirling. All of a sudden, this angel popped out on a horse.
Very cool.
And it was Michael again. So we've got proof like that, that there's something there, something that's been guiding us, something that's been with us all the time.
You know, Tom, I also think that with Archangel Michael showing up on a regular basis with you, because I know you mentioned that in your books, I really believe that we are at a time where we are being nudged and challenged and really being, I don't know, pushed to stand in our authority, to stand in our mastery with these negative entities or spirits or whatever you want to call them. Because, you know, we are at the end of the road here, and there is a Armageddon going on, whatever you want to define that as. And so it's really up to us to really stand in our authority. And that's one thing about Archangel Michael. You'll always perceive him to be standing with his sword of truth and justice, you know, on the horse, you know. So, I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out to you.
No, I agree with you. And that's the awakening that has to happen. And people see, if people had an accent like me and they had a voice come in and they didn't pursue it, then they're not awakening.
Yeah.
And that's the difference of what happened to me, and
definitely.
I'm sure for you, you learned the same thing, and that is you have to act upon these kinds of messages. There have been a lot of people that have had near-death experiences and their lives have changed, and that's a way to awaken people to start changing and do things that they're being guided to do. I don't know what the end story is for me, but every day is an interesting chapter of it, let me tell you. Yesterday morning I woke up and my wife was still sleeping at 7 a.m. I go into the living room and it's completely quiet. All of a sudden this voice comes in, a very female voice, and it says, "Tom," really a long drawn out Tom. And it sounds like my mom.
Interesting.
Of course she's passed. And you get these messages all the time. My dad, you know, died in 2011. He's with me all the time.
Yeah.
He was an expert trumpet player. He gives me songs. I'll find myself channeling songs when I'm walking with Carol or I'm in bed with her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I have to look up the lyrics and find out what the message is. So, and then my psychics see them. They see them when I walk in. They said, "Well, Carol's dad is on your shoulder there, and your dad's on this shoulder." I said, "What are they doing there?"
Well, you know what? The veil is so thin now that we're actually, in many ways, we're able to communicate with our siblings and our parents and anybody who's been passed for a while and almost better than when they were walking on the earth. You know, I mean, it's a much more intimate relationship if people, just like you said, open their hearts and are willing to, you know, look beyond the belief system or the paradigm that, this is just a cloud. It's just this, you know, ball of fluff that's floating across the sky. If you're just open to the fact that something is possibly being sent to you or being shown to you, then it will show up. It will definitely show up because the universe just is like waiting for you to say yes and just waiting for you to open up and go, "Come on in," you know?
Yes, and I agree with you, and that's one of the statements I use is open your heart and you will see. And it's really important to open your heart to all the things that you do in your life, and you know, how you treat your family, how you do your business, all the different tasks. If you can view your life in that way, you know, it's a different existence than what we've been living, then you will see. There's no question in my mind you will, because that's what, in the end story of all that I've learned, the reason we're here, the meaning of life, we've all asked that question, the meaning of life is love.
Yeah.
And it's love, not just for you, but it's love for the entire planet, of all of existence. And if you can embrace those concepts, it's so important because we've been created to love. I know when I meditate, it's so interesting. When I meditate and I say to whoever I'm meditating to, I say, "I love you." My whole vision lights up in huge red.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how it's interacted with. I know it's all true. I've lived it. I know it's all true. And what better way to live than through your heart?
Absolutely.
Think about it.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and love this truth, you know?
Yes. I mean, I give an example in my book. You know, if you had a business and you had to lay off people and it's around Christmas, would you lay off them before Christmas or after Christmas? Well, your heart would do it after Christmas.
After Christmas,
if you had to do it, you would do it after Christmas. So many people just do it, dollars and cents. And I've been in business for a long time. I know how people with money work.
Yes,
and unfortunately,
me too.
Many of them work through greed, and they have to make every dollar. Well, no one has to make every dollar.
Right.
If you use your heart, you're going to do some really good things with that money. So, you know, we all have things that would guide us, but I think in the end, you know, if you can live through your heart, you're going to have such a meaningful life and a happy life.
Well, and the heart is so much more complicated than even the brain and the mind and the thinking aspect of our bodies. It's so it's so beyond our comprehension of what the heart actually senses and feels and sees and receives and admits, you know. And it is the core foundation of unity amongst all of us is our hearts. So
yes, and if we don't love each other, you know, we're not going to love anything else.
No.
And some of the things that we've experienced on this planet shows that there's not enough love going around.
Yeah, no kidding. And I really commend you, Tom, that You've taken this very painful experience and turned it into something where you're not only expanding, see, because you're expanding your consciousness, and by doing so, you're then expanding the consciousness of those others around you. The higher we raise our vibrations, the more people we impact every single solitary day of our lives. So it's really important for all of us to be pursuing that which becomes an obsession. I mean, for you, Tom, it's like the clouds, and all of a sudden they're really communicating. And that's my next question to you is, what are they communicating with us at this point, at this juncture in the ascension process? What are you getting?
I think it really is what we talked about, is
The
to
love.
enjoy your life, use your heart every day, love one another, love all things that exist, including rocks that you think are dead, but everything that is, everything, all the same atoms that are in rocks are in you. I mean, it's the same thing. We all are a part of one thing. And for anyone to dismiss it is really not thinking about how creation works, in my view. So it's about embracing, those four elements we talked about, and the planet we live on, the universe, the galaxies. It's all part of one same thing. And it's so weird to think about that we search for such an amazing answer to the meaning of life, and yet it's so simple.
Yeah.
It's this love thing. It's the heart. And I would have never thought this. No way on earth would I ever thought this, but that is what I've come to conclude. I've had so many messages about it that there's no question. That I ran into, I don't know if we have time for this, but I got a huge message in 2011. In fact, on 11-11-11, we were drawn to go to the Monument Valley area of Arizona, and we met an older lady who's 92, and her daughter was in her 60s. They say they were from Philadelphia. But they find us in a place the next day that they were not supposed to be.
Mm.
Actually drove 4 hours to Sedona, and they were in Monument Valley, 4 hours away. And they go into the same restaurant, a little pizza place that we were at the same time, in an entirely different place. And when I saw them, of course, I ran up to them and said hi. And the old woman said, "Tom, you must do this for me." I said, "What?" She said, "You must research Julian of Norwich, N-O-R-W-I-C-H. Julian was a woman, J-U-L-I-A-N, of Norwich, England. And this woman was a teenager in the late 1300s when the plague was going around. Everybody's dying, and she got it.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, she got 16 visitations from Jesus. And she documented them, and they put them in books. And at least one of the books is in, I believe, in London in a museum. But the message of those books was one thing. It's about divine love. And that's why I said in my book, the title is simply Angelic Divine Images. Divine love, if she took a hazelnut and wrote a book about all the facets of a hazelnut and how important it is that creation made this, everything has a purpose. Everything is created. It's all part of this thing we are. We're essentially plotted down into, and that we take a lot of things for granted. And really, divine love, the love of all things, no matter alive or dead, is important.
Well, and also you made a good point about if we just embrace the magnificence of creation. It is so far beyond our little minds comprehending how, why would we think we know all the different facets and ways in which the universe can communicate with us? And if you start living your life through that perception and that lens, your life becomes so much more fulfilling in the first place. And that's what I was going to ask you is, what would you say to the individual who, they got a 9-to-5 job, they totally hate their job, they're stressed out, they can't pay their bills, they've got 3 kids, they're a single parent, and they're saying, "Yeah, I really want to be there where you are, Tom. I just don't know how to get to that place." What would you suggest to them?
I would say to sit down and think about their his or her existence, and to think about how they would run their life if their heart was in charge.
Good
start from
answer.
there
Good answer.
start from there and then start to think outwardly about their lives, their family, their community, people they know, their country, the whole world and beyond, and think about what would you do with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
What could you do with your heart? I mean, it goes from helping the homeless person on the street you see that has nothing.
Right.
So the little things make so much difference, and it grows. If you start thinking that way, it grows. And you may still have that terrible job, but you're going to be a happier person.
Yeah, wow, that's perfect. And thank you for that. And I just want to tell you right at the last minute here, because we have to tie this up, but I'm looking outside my window and two things occurred through this interview. Number one, I actually saw a branch of a tree form into the face of a lion. And secondly, I actually had a hawk, which is one of my major animal totems, fly across the sky. So,
when you say lion, that is my whole life has been lions and tigers and cats, and I don't know what it is.
Well, then you're probably of the feline race.
Yeah, could be. We're still trying to figure that one out.
And I hear that they're directly correlated with the Agarthans.
Yes.
So that's very cool. Well, Tom, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I'm so glad we finally got this together. And everybody, please check out his website. It's at www.whenangelstouch.com. It's a beautiful website. And you can also...
And they can email me at tom@whenangelstouch.com.
Yeah.
And the books are on there if they want to order them.
Yes, and they're beautiful books. I mean, they're just spectacular. Definitely.
And the website also has a lot of the stories and pictures that can tell the story. So the website's educational.
Yeah, and that's what we're all about, right? Is to educate.
Exactly. You've got a hell of a website.
I try. It's so massive. I mean, the news is like flying in each day. It's hard to even keep up with it. But anyway, I do thank you, and I thank all of you that are listening. Have a wonderful day, and stay tuned for our next episode at galacticconnection.com. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you.